Black lives matter. Yes, of course. What Nash just read, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I always thought it was significant that Jesus did not say, God so loved Israel. But he opened it wide open. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. So who does that exclude? I can't think of anyone that it excludes. So why should I exclude someone? How about the promise? My class this morning will remember I was talking about the promise. And when the Bible talks about the promise, I'd say 90% of the time, it's referring to Genesis 12 and verse 3. Where God has called Abraham to leave modern Iraq and to travel to the land of Canaan. And he explains what he's going to do. And at the end of his explanation, God said to Abraham, and this is at the end of verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then you go over to Genesis 18, and God is speaking to Abraham again. This time, God is getting ready to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, as well as some other smaller ones in the surrounding area. And this is what happens. Genesis 18, beginning of verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Referring to what is about to happen to those cities at the southern end of the Dead Sea. And since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You go a little bit further to Genesis 22. And again, God is speaking to Abraham and says in Genesis 22:18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And then in Genesis 26, this time the Lord is speaking to Isaac and giving him the same promise. So the promise was not to come through Ishmael, but the promise would come through Isaac, you know, and then of his two sons would come through Jacob and so on until we get to Jesus. But in Genesis 26, 4 and 5, God said this to Isaac, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham, your father, obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, I ask the same question. Who does that exclude? Now, sometimes God, I understand, he'll say all something and then he'll say except. But in this case, I mean, I've read to you four different times where he could have stated an exclusion. And he didn't do it. How about what we call the Great Commission? Excuse me. When you go to the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you go to the end of each one, I'm just going to give you the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen to what Jesus said here. Okay? He's taken his disciples to a certain location in Matthew 28. And he begins to say this in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. That's going to be the fulfillment of the promise given first to Abraham. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Then you go to the next book, Mark, and go to the end of it. Mark chapter 16. Here is another time that Jesus gave them what we call the Great Commission. Great because it went beyond the borders of the land of Israel. So in Mark 16, beginning at verse 15, Mark records Jesus as saying, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And then you go to the next one, Luke chapter 24. So the end of Luke 24. And yet on another occasion, Jesus said this in Luke 24, beginning at verse 46. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Again, I hope you can see how all three of these passages are stating the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham. And Jesus, again, knows what he's doing. He spoke intentionally, and he said, this good news, the word gospel, this good news is for all people. It's for all nations. Go into all the world. Preach to every creature, not just the Jew, but also to everyone else, to the rest of the world. And of course, they did that. And as a result, that's why we are here today, though we don't live in the land of Israel. And I would guess that we're not Jews in the flesh. And if you are, praise God, that's wonderful. So my question again is the same thing. Who does that exclude? Is there a group of people that you don't like? Whatever it is about them, would you exclude them from the good news of salvation? If so, I would encourage you to really look at these passages I'm giving you and seeing that the Lord does not see the flesh. Do you remember when God had sent Samuel to the household of Jesse because he was supposed to go there and anoint a new king because Saul had been a failure? So Jesse brought 7 sons before Samuel, and the Lord would alert him as to which one it was, and he would anoint him with oil and he'd be the new king. And the Bible tells us when he saw the first one, he was really impressed, evidently with his physical appearance. I don't know if he was tall or muscular or handsome or maybe all of the above and who knows what else. And God said, nope, that's not the one. I don't see as man sees. Man sees the flesh, but God sees the heart. So you probably know the story. He goes all the way through 7 sons and God says no. And Samuel's like, do you have another one? Yeah, there's the young one, the youngest, the baby of the family. He's out tending the sheep. He says, we're not going to eat until he comes in. And he comes in and God says, that's him. That's a man after my own heart. And he anoints him. So God's looking on the inside. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And you don't have to turn to that right now because I'm going to do a whole sermon on that in July. But he's from Ethiopia. The assumption is that he has more melanin in his skin than what the Jews have. So he's darker. And yet, God sends Philip to go preach to him, and he does it. And there's no question about it. He needs to hear the gospel just like the Jew needed to hear the gospel. Now you can turn to Acts chapter 17. Personally, I don't even like to use the term racism because there's only one race, which I'm going to show you right now, and that's the human race, mankind. So listen to this. In Acts 17, Paul, a Jew, is in Athens, Greece, And he's preaching to them. And part of what he said was this, beginning in verse 26. God has made from one man, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we, I'm talking to you Greeks here, and myself being a Jew, in Him we all live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, or poets, for we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver and so on. So Paul, by the Spirit, declared that all of humanity has been made from one. And of course, we understand that one to be Grandpa Adam and his wife Eve, Grandma Eve. Everyone has descended from them. In fact, you don't even have to go back that far in time. All you got to do is go to Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. If it were possible, we could trace every single one of us, not just back to Adam, but to Noah, regardless of how much melanin you have in your skin. It is my judgment that the teaching of evolution has promoted the belief that there are different races of people. Just think of the full title of Charles Darwin's famous, or maybe I should say infamous, book. We typically call it The Origin of Species, but in those days, if you ever pick up a book from like the 19th century and earlier, they had long titles, almost a whole sentence sometimes as a title of the book. Well, the full title of Charles Darwin's book is The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle of Life. And personally, I think that's false doctrine based upon the fact of what Paul said in Acts 17, and then what we read in the book of Genesis about the creation of man and how everyone has descended from Adam and then through Noah. Clear back in 1868 or 1869, there was a gentleman by the name of Sir Archibald Geikie who made this statement in Nature magazine, which is still in circulation today. He said, "What specially struck me was the universal sway which the writings of Darwin now exercise over the German mind." And it took several decades for that to continue to develop and to come into full force, and you eventually get Nazi Germany. My point is, I don't think there's a black race and a white race or anything in between. Every single male, as far as I'm concerned, and you can make up your own mind for yourself, as far as I'm concerned, every male on this planet is my brother, and every female on this planet is my sister. Finally, if you think that we should exclude someone because of how much melanin they have in their skin, you know, what makes me think that I have the right amount? You have way too much melanin, so I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not going to give you the gospel. I'm not going to teach you the scriptures. I'm not going to accept you. Well, someone's going to look at me. I get comments all the time from total strangers about the redness of my face. I don't know why people do that, but they do. Well, you're too red, so I don't want anything to do with you. All right. Now the second part of my sermon, Black Lives Matter, the organization. Well, like anything, you find things in a group with which you will agree, things that speak the truth, but like anything not rooted in Scripture, there's eventually going to be a problem. You're going to find things that move you to disagree. And for me, and I'll let you decide on your own. This is the case with the Black Lives Matter, the organization. I think I've shown you enough from Scripture what the biblical doctrine is on this subject concerning the color of someone's skin. And I didn't want to get my information from, it's easy to get on the internet and just search, you know, tell me about the Black Lives Matter organization. But I thought, no, they've got a website. So I've been there before, and I went there again, and they have across their menu a section that says About. You click on that, and a submenu opens up, and then there's one, What We Believe. So I went to that page and read the whole thing, and noticed some interesting things. First, for many people, and whether this includes people from this organization, I do not know. But if in response to the statement Black Lives Matter, or the phrase, if you say all lives matter, or maybe you'll pick another group like Blue Lives Matter, and so on, they'll usually say, well, you're not getting the point. You don't understand what we're trying to say by Black Lives Matter. And yet, I notice this in their section on what we believe. We work vigorously for freedom and justice for black people, and by extension, all people. To love and desire freedom and justice for ourselves is a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. So, to me, that's like saying, ultimately, they're acknowledging all lives matter. And that's a good thing. They believe that they're not getting it for themselves, so whether you disagree with that or not, I just wanted to point that out, because sometimes people will look down on you if you use the expression all lives matter. And those people may not realize, evidently, that this organization does believe all lives matter. Now, whether they put it into practice or not, just like you and I, we may preach something, but it doesn't mean we always practice it. Or maybe someone's just not aware of it. You know, who knows what the situation may be. But I think everyone, of course, needs to read the Scriptures to understand, you know, just the truth about mankind. Now on the issue of homosexuality, this is what they say. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflective and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual, unless she, he, or they disclose otherwise. Well, first of all, I've heard this word cisgender a lot, and I've never bothered to look it up, and I did. Here's a definition. Cisgender, sometimes cissexual, often abbreviated to simply cis, is a term for people whose gender identity matches their sex assigned at birth. So I believe I'm a male, and if you look at my birth certificate, that's what it says. So that's what that is. But often people with a new movement in modern times have a certain psychology, and they will come up with new vocabulary that I don't know if it's the purpose of that is to give them a way of identifying people because they have a certain kind of a language, whether you fit in with us or not, I don't know. But what do the Scriptures say about homosexuality? In Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we have a clear declaration on this subject from the Holy Spirit inspired and Jesus Christ approved Paul. Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And then 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, show just how serious this is. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Paul said to the church at ancient Corinth, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I don't believe at all, and I hope you don't, that, okay, that's what the Bible says about homosexuality. That does not endorse, on our part, if you believe what is being said here, violence against them. Because if so, then it would also include violence against the other sins that are listed there. So you may not be guilty of one sin, but all of us at some point or another are guilty probably of some of those other things listed there, and if not there, things found in other scriptures. So if it's okay for me to carry out violence against you because you're a sinner of a certain kind, what keeps you from carrying out violence against me because I'm another kind of sinner? All right. The family. On their website, they said this: "We make our spaces family-friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable." My first thought is, man, there's plenty of forces out there trying to break up the family, to destroy the family. And we don't need any more, but that's the reality of it. So we want to follow whatever the Bible says about family, and whenever man tempers with what God says about family, I think it proves disastrous. Whether you're talking about polygamy, divorce for any reason under heaven, abortion, open marriages, merely living together, homosexuality, and go on with the list. It is written in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, how the God of heaven structured things. 1 Corinthians 11, 3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So if I want to disrupt one of those in there, why not disrupt the other ones? They all go together. Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and after they had been persuaded to sin by the serpent, God spoke to the serpent, to the man, and to the woman, and put a curse or a consequence upon each of them for what they had done. And then in Genesis 3:16, Moses said, "To the woman, God said, I will multiply greatly your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So that's a part of the fall. There might be other matters that are problematic, but I think these are sufficient enough that I cannot stand with this organization. I can stand for the declaration that Black Lives Matter. And personally, I prefer to add to it, all Black Lives Matter all the time. And I say that because it seems like most of that is just dealing with police work, what they perceive as a problem there. But do you know who suffers the most at abortion? It's the blacks. That's where most of the abortion clinics are, and most babies who are aborted are black babies. So I think their lives matter too, don't you? So that's why I'm going to say all lives, not just those who are killed by a white police officer, but all black lives matter all the time. Whether they're still in the womb, after they've been born, and whatever. And of course, ultimately, I believe, I think I've shown it to you from Scripture, that in God's mind, all lives truly matter. So we have to discipline ourselves not to see Scripture or life or the world through the lens that represents whatever cause we're behind. No, we need to take the lens of Scripture and look at life and others and myself and the world. I look through it by the lens of Scripture and not in the reverse. So whatever shade of your skin color, every single one of us has a major problem. And it is that problem that must be eradicated. Fix this problem and everything else will take care of itself. What is that problem? In Romans chapter 3, Paul listed what the problem is. So here he's already talked about the Gentile world in Romans chapter 1. Here is what the Gentile world has been living like. When he's done with that in chapter 2, in about the first several verses of chapter 3, he says, here's the problem of the Jewish world. They also have been involved in sin, different sins, but both of them have some major problems, or one major problem, and that's sin. So now listen to what Paul says in Romans 3, beginning verse 21. Okay? But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, we would call that the Old Testament. Okay? The Old Testament testified of God's righteousness. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And if you read Romans, instead of just taking out this one verse like I've done here, or this one passage, you're going to understand what he means by that. That he means every accountable person on this planet. Regardless of the amount of melanin you have in your skin, regardless of what family you belong to, what nation, what language you speak, what job you have, how much money you have or don't have, etc., etc., the righteousness of God can be for you, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. He just said right there, there's no difference between people. Why? For, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, that says it all, does it not? First, Paul revealed the solution. The solution is Jesus Christ. And he's saying that solution is for all and on all who believe. The reason why that's is true, the reason why believing and thus obtaining the righteousness of God is available for all people, is that there's no difference between the various peoples on this earth. We have all sinned, and therefore we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So we all need His help to get back up and to live in God's glory the way He originally intended for us to live. So I encourage you, please believe in and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6 again. He is the only one who can save us from the sins that are listed here. Remember, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So in other words, if you're unrighteous, you're being excluded from the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters about the flesh of the body. And he says, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, maybe you've not done any of those things. Okay? Well, he did say the unrighteous, so we can look elsewhere in Scripture and see whether I've committed any of those sins or not. But the point that the Bible's making is if you believe in Jesus, if you want to turn your life around, you can. He will accept you, no matter who you are. He will wash away your sins, whatever they have been, if not only are you willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to turn your life around, but also if you're willing to submit to water baptism. When you do that, He will take care of those sins for you. So if you've not yet done that, would you please come forward right now as we stand and sing, and we'll assist you in that.